All right, Psalm chapter 3 in your Bible. Give you just a moment to get your Bible. Turn to Psalm chapter 3. Psalm chapter 3. And again, thank you for faithfully giving over these last 3 months. Can you believe it? I mean, our last Sunday service together was March 15th, if I still know the calendar. Dates are always pretty, I'm pretty on dates, but I think dates are pretty much out the window these days. But I think it was March 15th. And then we had a midweek service on March 18th, if I'm not mistaken, and that was our last public service together. And we're praying for the Burnaby Alliance Church, again, like the Johnstons are praying for the people that they meet, that God would give them discernment on how to move forward. And again, I'm completely comfortable with the way God leads them, and I'm not... in any way critical of the delay maybe that they're giving and having. They have a large church in the sense of numbers, and there's a lot more that they have to think about in that respect. And so they're having a meeting this Saturday. You could pray about that if you would, and that God would just give them direction. And we are praying to have in-person services soon. Would you pray with us about that? And more than likely we would start with Wednesday, and then go from there. But we'll keep you updated on that. The live stream, God willing, will continue as well, even when we meet in person. And so that will be the place. That will be what takes place, God willing. Okay, Psalm chapter 3. I think you probably found it by now. I'd like to speak to you on this theme tonight. There is help in God. There is help in God. The Bible says in verse 1, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Maybe you're humming the song right now in your mind, okay? Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God, Selah. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. My text verse tonight, my theme verse really is only verse 3, but we'll look at other verses of Scripture as well. Quite a bit of Scripture tonight, quite frankly, but let me read it again. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of mine head. Heavenly Father, thank you for this verse of Scripture and the many other verses of Scripture. And I pray tonight that it will be an encouraging time in your word, that we can find help in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Psalm 3 and 4, more than likely, were not written in Jerusalem. Psalm 3 and 4, written by King David. The timing of Psalm 3 and 4, if you want to look back in the Bible, and we'll look back here in just a minute, but it would be 2 Samuel 15 through 18, okay? And some of you know what was going on in that time, and there was a lot of turmoil going on in the kingdom, and the turmoil came from within David's own home. Within David's own home. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Turmoil within a home. It can happen in my home. Hey, if it happened in a man after God's own heart's home, it can happen in my home, and it can happen in your home as well. And whenever there's turmoil in a home, it's not pleasant, is it? It's not very comfortable. It's not how God intended it to be. Think about it. God is the one who started the home, right? Did he not? He started the home with one man and one woman. That's a home that he started, the first marriage. And the first marriage is the way marriage is intended to be from the beginning of time when God put the first marriage, one man, one woman. And we believe that here at Anchor Baptist Church. That is marriage, one man, one woman for life. And that's not the message. But anyway, turmoil in the home. There was turmoil in David's home. And we could trace that back to what we talked about, I don't know if it was last Wednesday or not, but when we talked about Psalm 51, remember, and all that was surrounding that? You know, again, 1 week right now feels like 2 weeks in a month sometimes, so forgive me if I don't even remember what we talked about last Wednesday. I know the parables in Sunday school, okay? And Book of Acts in the 4 o'clock service. But Absalom was rebelling against his father, and I believe we know that this is one of those things that came out of David's sin. Now, you know, he was forgiven, but be sure your sin will find you out. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so You know, here's some turmoil. David's on the run. He's running from his own son. That's hard to grasp, isn't it, in our minds. But I'll tell you what, we see some interesting things in our day too, don't we? Would you go ahead and turn back to 2 Samuel chapter 15 for just a moment? 2 Samuel chapter 15, hold your place there in Psalm 3 because we're going to be back there. Let's just take a look at this so we have the full view of what Psalm 3 and 4. Now, we're not looking at Psalm 3 and 4, but we want to just get a little bit of background. We're looking mainly at Psalm 3 verse 3 tonight. There is help in God. And 2 Samuel 15 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment." He came to King David, his dad, not to Absalom. "So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel." Stole the hearts. This was David's son, Absalom. Again, many of you may not have read this story yet. You're a new Christian, or the Bible is new to you, and you're still reading it and learning more about God's Word. Keep reading it, by the way, and learn and have your heart open to the Lord when you read your Bible. Pray and ask the Lord, the Holy Spirit, as a Christian, to help you understand what you're about to read, and He will. He will guide us into all truth. Jesus said that about the Holy Spirit. But here's Absalom stealing the hearts of the people away from his dad. Just hold your place there in 2 Samuel 15. We're going to read another verse in a minute. But look down, if you will, at verse... We're going to do it right now, actually. Look down, if you will, at verse 14. "And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise, and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overcome us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword." And so we're very well aware of the turmoil now within David's family. So 2 Samuel 15 and Psalm 3 and 4 are kind of within the same time period, okay? Remember, the Bible is not put together chronologically. It's put together in themes. And so just because 2 Samuel's way back here and Psalm is in the middle doesn't mean that they don't go together. And that's where Bible study, and that's where meditation on the Bible and, reading, looking up words even in a Strong's Concordance and things of that nature. And it's important. It's important. You don't just learn this by reading. Although some Bibles have titles to these two psalms, you can see that. In Scofield, it has that, but maybe not particularly in one you're using. But Psalm 3 and 4, around that same time. Psalm 3 is a morning psalm, and Psalm 4 is an evening psalm. Look at Psalm 3, verse 5. It says, "I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me." And then verse 8 of chapter 4 says, "I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." I read this recently. If you cannot sleep, don't count sheep. Talk to the shepherd. Talk to the shepherd. And it wasn't referring to David. It was referring to our shepherd. And so here's David saying, that he was able to sleep. He was able to lay down in peace, even though his very own flesh and blood was after him. Notice, if you will, in the beginning of chapter 3. Notice, if you will, it says, "How are they increased that trouble me?" David had an enemy. Notice he says here, "How are they increased?" They're gathering momentum. They're gathering numbers, right? As people were coming to see David, Absalom would put his arm around him. This is before social distancing. Put his arm around him and say, "Hey, why don't you listen to me? I'll help you. I'll take care of you. I'll provide for you." And he stole their hearts, and he began to have quite a following. David said, "Their numbers are increasing, and they are after me. They are troubling me. And many are they that rise up against me." And so David had an enemy that was against him, but David had a God who was for him. Look at verse number 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Verse 5, I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. Verse 7, arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Ouch. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Boy, if you've ever had a tooth broken, wow. I know you don't feel bad for the ungodly, but anyway, God was for him. David had an enemy. He said, man, God, my enemies are increasing. But thou, O Lord. And so tonight, we have an enemy. Every follower of Jesus Christ, you know. And you know, I like to refer to it that way. Follower of Jesus Christ. We're following him. And sometimes when you say every Christian, that can be just a broad brush today. If you want to say I'm a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and I'm following him, we have one enemy. Be sober, be vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the word adversary there means opponent. It means enemy. That's why we say we have an enemy who is the devil. That's what that word adversary means. He's against us. You know what? He's not necessarily as much as he is against us. He's against the God who we worship. He's against the one who we are following. And so that is our enemy, and he is like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking him he may devour. So David had an enemy. We have an enemy. David had God who was for him, and praise the Lord, we have God who is for us as well. We read about that in Romans 8. If God be for us, who can be against us? And so here, that's the introduction. So let's look now for the remainder of our study here tonight at verse 3 and then many other verses along with it. Each point. You'll see what I mean. Number one, we see protection. Protection. You see that? You see it there in verse 3? Art a shield for me. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. God was David's protection. God protected David. God used David to protect sheep. God now is protecting David from his enemy. We have God to help us with that as well. I'm reminded of some other shields in the Bible. And I have these all written out. Maybe you want to jot them down, but we're not going to physically look at all of them at this time. But in Genesis 15 and verse number 1, we find a shield for Abraham, for Abram. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Think about that. I am thy shield. Abram, I am your protection. What greater statement could be made for us tonight than to hear, God is our shield. We, like David, can say, you are a shield for me. I have the enemy. We'll talk about that later. I have a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And that's me. I'm one of those ones he's trying to devour. But I have a shield. Abram, God told Abram, I have a shield. And Abram, I am your great reward. And then, not only that, in Deuteronomy 33:29, the second shield that we read about is a shield for Israel. A shield for Israel. And the Bible says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help. The shield of thy help. Not only that, he was a shield for David, not just here, but in 2 Samuel 22:3, the Bible says, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield. He is my protection. I want you to personalize that. I want us to personalize that. I want to personalize that tonight. God is our shield. He is our protection. The Bible even says that he is a shield for the righteous. A shield for the righteous. If you're in Psalm 3, you could easily see this one, Psalm 5. Psalm 5 in verse number 12. The Bible says, for thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. Surround him with a shield. That's what compass means. Maybe it's compass him as with a shield. surround him. I think about that. God is our protection. God is our shield. Then he's a shield for those that fear and trust him. For those that fear and trust him. Do you trust God tonight? Do you trust God tonight for your daily provision, your daily bread? Do you trust God tonight for his will to be known in your life and for you to know his will and to follow his will? In Psalm 115, verse 11, the Bible says, "Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield." Who is it referring to? Those that fear and trust the Lord, he is their shield. Tonight, we have the same shield available to us. We have the shield. We have this protection to withstand the enemy. Now, here's the sad thing, though. Many believers are attempting to follow Christ and not have the shield. They're attempting to live life their own way. And that's not wise, is it? No. We need to follow God and trust him and live in the fear of God and be righteous. And we have that. No, our lives are in danger. Our lives are in danger. And that's not negative. That's just reality. I'm talking about not only a physical sense, not maybe that much physical, we don't really think about it, but spiritually speaking, we're living in a very dangerous time. The devil wants to destroy. And yet, sometimes we feel like we're on the run. David's on the run. And he said, "God, you are my shield. You are my protection." Now, let's think about the armor of God for just a moment. In the armor of God, in Ephesians chapter number 6, what is it called? What is the piece of armor called? What is the full name for it with regards to this theme that we're on right now? What's it called? The shield of faith. Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But it is a shield of faith. Why do we need a shield of faith? Because the devil has fiery darts. Okay? And he knows exactly your sweet spot, and he knows my sweet spot. And I'll tell you what, the devil has a very good aim. I don't know if he took archery or not, but he's got a very good aim. He knows right where to hit you in the heart. He knows right where to hit me in the heart. And praise God for his protection. What is his protection for us in Ephesians 6? Faith. Hey, tonight, church, rise up, O church of God. Rise up, O lady of God, O man of God, O teenager of God. Let's tonight in faith say, "I have the shield of protection. God is going to take care of me. I am trusting him. God is going to protect me. God is going to provide for me." And on it goes. I am able, this faith, what is this shield of faith? This shield of faith protects me, but it's also, as we think about faith, it helps me to be able to see beyond the present circumstances and claim the victory in Jesus. Think about David's present circumstance in Psalm 3. He said, "Many there be who are rising up against me." Verse number 1. They're increasing that trouble me. But he was able to see that God was his shield and victory was going to come. He was able to see beyond the present turmoil and see victory in Jesus. Number one, protection, a shield for me. Number two, notice what David says. Number two is praise. Praise. There is help in God. Number one, protection. Number two, praise. David said, "My glory. My glory." In Psalm 30, in verse number 12, the Bible says, "To the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, O Lord, my God. I will give thanks unto thee forever, my glory." Psalm 108, verse 1, "O God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory." Oh, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, God is our praise. There is help in God. He is not just our protection. He is to be our praise morning, noon, and night. as we consider who God is, what God has done in and through our lives, where God has brought us from, the church that we have, the scripture that we have, the brothers and sisters in Christ that we have. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, may we be men and women of praise. David said, "You're not just my shield, you're my glory. I don't glory in myself. I don't glory in the fact that I killed Goliath with just one stone. I don't glory in all of that. No, you are my glory. You are my praise." I believe that's what that's talking about. In Psalm 27 and verse number 6, would you turn over there for just a moment? Psalm 27 and verse number 6, just a few pages over in your Bible. Psalm 27 and verse number 6, the Bible says, "And now shall mine head be lifted up, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me." Think of this. "Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord." Oh, have a song of praise to the Lord. Have a song of worship to the Lord. He is worthy of our praise. You know, I think about just in the last several days, specific answers to prayer that God has brought to us here at Anchor Baptist Church. And in your personal life, maybe you have some praises and just how God has continued to work things out for your good, but for His glory, right? And so as God works in and through us, and as God works on our behalf, might we as His children continue to give Him glory, to give Him praise. That's what it says here, my glory, my praise. So we see number one, protection. Shield. Tonight, don't lose sight. Don't leave the shield of faith off to the side when you go out into the world in which we live. Take that shield of faith. It's needed. Then don't forget all that God does, all that He is, all who He is. He deserves the glory for it. Oh, today, praise the Lord, we were able to go and to the post office. I went a day early. I normally go on Thursday morning. I went today and dropped off over 10,000 tracts. Excuse me. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord that we have this opportunity that God has given us to get the gospel out all over New Westminster. We started with New Westminster. So those of you in New Westminster, there you go. We started with you, and we're going to work our way around and come up and through into Burnaby, and then up North Road. We'll go down Austin there, and V3K and V3J, V3N is coming, and V5E. And you can pray for these postal codes. I'm saying this tonight that we would sing praise to the glory of God. David said, "You are my glory." As we go back to chapter 3, "O Lord, you are a shield for me. You are my glory." Think about it. God has saved your soul. God deserves your praise. God has given you His word. God deserves our praise. Paul writes about that, to the praise of His glory. I think it's in several places Paul says that. To the praise of His glory. Oh, tonight, church, let's be a church of praise. There is help in God. He is our protection. He is our praise. But let's look at one more. He is our power. He is our power. And at no order of importance in these, but we need His power, don't we? You see it? David said, "You are the lifter up of mine head." And you know what? I see a couple of different pictures when I read this, lifter up of my head. The first thing I could see about this, that you could look at it a couple different ways, is that whenever you're discouraged and whenever you're defeated and whenever you're depressed, what normally happens with your head? It goes down, right? When you're walking outside and you have your head down and, you know, you're kicking rocks and everything is, you know, everything's just gone wrong and life's a mess and et cetera, et cetera. Typically, when you think about someone who's defeated, it's their head's not up, they're not looking around, and they don't have the joy of the Lord on their heart. And so that's one way to look at it. But another way I look at it tonight with this idea of power is that You know, when you get tired, maybe like right now, you're getting kind of tired. You're sitting in your chair that's so comfortable, or you're sitting on your couch and it's been a long day, or you're sitting behind the laptop here and it's been a long day. And what happens to your head when you get tired and you get weak? It falls forward, doesn't it? Well, I tell you what, there's been some amazing scenes in churches. There's been some amazing scenes as a pastor standing on the platform looking out at people, and as they begin to doze off with their head, it sometimes flops to the back, to the side, but a lot of times it just falls forward. And then there's that bottle, and there's that sudden jolt. It's happened to me, okay? My hand's up. It's happened to me. It's happened to you. And so David says, God, you're not only my protection, my shield. He said, you're not only my praise, my glory. He says, God, you are the lifter of my head. God, you are my power. You're my strength. David, I would think about how emotionally whipped David must have been. Running from his son. That not let alone the physical part of this, but on top of that, you know, he can remember holding Absalom in his arms. He can remember spending time with Absalom, and you know, maybe he didn't spend much time with him. I don't know. We can't speculate, okay? But I'm sure as he's on the run, and as he gets to the place where he's not running at least, and he's tired, and he says here that I am their increase that trouble me and the rise up against me and so forth and so on. And I'm sure that the burden is weighing on his shoulders, and I'm sure the burden is weighing and it's causing his head to fall, if you will. I don't know what this is like. I hope I never have to experience anything like this. I mean, it will never be like this because I'll never be the king of Israel, and neither will you. But we could experience something like this at some time. We could experience disappointment in our life. David, I'm sure, was disappointed. This isn't how I brought you up, Absalom. Oh, when Absalom died, the broken heart that David had for him. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom. It's a great thing to read and learn from. It's not an exciting thing, but it's something to learn from, that we don't want to copy the rebellion of Absalom and the pride of Absalom. Because look what it did. Look what it did to the family unit, and look what it did. It was just an uproar. And David, I'm sure, was weak. No way I can relate. No way you can relate. But we can relate in this way, that there have been times in our life where our head has hanged low. There have been times in your life where your shoulders have become stooped because of the pressure of life and work and illness and family and all of it. And it begins to wear and it begins to stoop and your head begins to tip, if you will. It won't be long until there's a great time of weakness and great discouragement. And it happens. And it happens in waves. And it goes and it comes again. And I'm just being real with you tonight. This is where David is. Go with me to 2 Samuel 22. 2 Samuel 22. God, you are my power, the lifter of my head. 2 Samuel 22. Oh, I hope and pray tonight that when you come to Psalm 3, maybe you've made some notes on a piece of paper. Maybe you can write them in your Bible there, if you don't mind writing in your Bible. Just write those three words, protection, praise, and power, and put them right there by that. And every time you come back to Psalm 3, you'll remember, okay, we know. I remember where David was when this was written. God, I need your protection. God, I need to praise you more. God, I need your power. Psalm 2 Samuel 22, look at verse 33. David says, let's read 32, for who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? Verse 33, God is my what? Strength and power. Wow. David knew David knew where his strength came from. David knew who lifted up his head. It was the Lord. He was faithful. By the way, God's power hasn't changed from 2 Samuel 22 to 2020. Okay? His power is still available for us tonight to lift you up, to lift your head up. And by that power, there is encouragement. There is strength to live another day, to go on for God. God is my strength and power. And He, notice, maketh my way perfect, complete. His will, right? How does your way become perfect? How does it become complete? By the strength of God. It's not in my power. It's not in your power. It's not in our will. It's not in our way. It's all as we depend upon the Lord. And then I want to take you to one other verse of Scripture in the New Testament. If you would just turn quickly back to 2 Corinthians 12. It's a verse that you have read many times. It's a verse that you have used many times. If not, make it a verse that you use many times because it's a good one. The Apostle Paul here is writing. And in verse 9 of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in," what? "Weakness." So when your head starts to tip and your shoulders start to stoop, that's the perfect time for us to go back and realize, God is my strength. God is the lifter up of my head. Because that's when it becomes real. Is when I'm not trying to do it myself. I'm not trying to be a husband without God's help. I'm not trying to be a dad without God's help. Father's Day's coming up, guys. Father's Day's coming up. Hope I can see you on Sunday over the church parking lot. And Father's Day. But you know what? More than that, we need men of God, fathers and men of God in the church that recognize, yes, we are weak, but when we recognize we are weak, then He is strong. But notice what it says there at the end of that verse. "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." I've never understood how we could do that. In other words, glory means praise. We talked about it earlier. That I'm willing to praise God for my infirmities, meaning infirmities here means my weaknesses. I'm willing to praise God for this area of my life that is a weakness. That's what it means. Because when that happens, then what happens, Paul said, that the power, there it is, the power of Christ may rest upon me. The God who spoke the world into existence offers us the daily power and strength we need to withstand the temptation of our enemy. That's the power you need. Why are Christians today falling flat on their face? I'll tell you why. One reason why. They're trying to do it without God's power. And I would have to raise my hand and say, I have failed in that way too. I don't want to go back there. I don't want to do that again. No, I want to live one day at a time in my weakness, yes, but through His strength. In my frailness, yes, but through His power. This power is needed to live the Christian life. This power is needed to preach the Word of God. And by the way, everybody's a preacher. This power is needed to have victory in our life. This power is needed to say no to the devil. This power is needed to say yes to the Lord. David said, "Many there be that rise up against me. But God, You are a shield for me. You're my protection. God, You're my glory. You're my praise. Doesn't matter what's going on, I'm going to praise You. You get the glory." When everything comes in and everything's happening and people are getting saved, God gets the glory. When it's dry and barren, God gets the glory. When God is breaking me, God gets the glory. When God is molding me, God gets the glory. And then he said, "And not only that, but God, You're my power. You're the lifter up of my head." I want to encourage you tonight. Digest this psalm. tonight. Read it again. Read it tomorrow morning. Think about this. Protection. Praise. Power. There is help in God.